Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. And today, Demler, DJ Zamora, will be joining us live here in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk about Tyson Fury. Biebs. He made the Forbes richest athlete list. And we'll give you the rest of the rundown with that, too. Your boy hit it big time, son.
Doing very well.
All right. First, we get started with news and rumors. Mike Tyson returns to the ring. Mike Tyson returned to the ring this week, but not how you might think, man. He was seen on AEW Pro Wrestling getting into a fight with Chris Jericho. He'll be back. Will he be back in the boxing ring? Pete, your guess is as good as mine. I have no clue. Was this the big surprise? I think this was the big surprise.
I'm not so sure if it was, because there's still offers coming in.
I heard he got $1.1 million offer to fight Peter McNeely again. That's what was written. How crazy is that?
Did you pay for it?
No, I will not.
No.
I got to draw the line somewhere, Beeb. I mean, I listen, man. I pay for a lot of crazy stuff.
I think I'd buy it.
Would you?
I'm a loser.
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with me.
You know. I don't know. I don't know if I would. I don't think I would buy it.
And then what about that bare knuckle boxing offer that he got? How big was that? That was
20-some million, right?
Wow.
Crazy numbers, man.
That Feldman guy wants him big time. He wants him bad.
Yeah.
But I'll say one thing. That's something he should not do. Bare knuckle boxing, that's crazy.
I don't know.
At 53, trying to do something like that.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's a little too much.
Do you think he comes back, though? I think this was it. I think this is what he was training for. You know, he looks the part. I mean, he looks the part.
I suspect he still may have, like, an exhibition.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think he has any exhibition.
I got a feeling that Holyfield thing might happen.
I don't know, Meg. How much money do you think he's making off of AEW?
How much are they paying him?
Yeah.
How big is AEW?
I don't think they're that big.
They're not that.
They're just like, I mean, but the guy who owns them, that guy, I think it's Tony Khan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He's pretty rich. He's got pretty deep pockets, man. So
I bet you they're paying him a cool million. Because think about it. When was he in? When did he go to the WWE when he had that thing with Austin? What year was that? That was in the 90s, right?
Yeah, I think so. With him and Steve Austin or whatever?
Yeah, he got $3 million back then in the 90s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he came out with a bunch of MMA guys, Rashad Evans, who was it, Henry Cejudo, Rashad Evans, Vitor Belfort, you know,
oh,
he
wow.
came out with those guys. So those guys were all there.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, man, he's not real good at this. He's not. I mean, you know, like when you watch him, he's not that believable as a bad guy. You know, which is funny because you know he is. How crazy is that, though? Like when you watch MMA and stuff like that, and those guys are legit tough guys, man. But then you see him in the same setting in like a wrestling ring or whatever, or some a tough guy that doesn't know really how to act the part like they do. It looks like it's going to be a one-sided beatdown by the wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
They just, those guys, man. And like, you know, when they throw punches and stuff like that, you know, they stomp their feet. They got a certain look to how they do it. It looks better. It
you
just
know,
looks better, you know?
You know, Tyson Fury did a great job. I thought he did well.
I thought he did pretty good. I thought
he did
pretty
really good.
You could still tell he wasn't seasoned or whatever, but yeah, I thought he did pretty good.
Yeah. And you know who else was good? Floyd, when Floyd did that match at Big Show, that was actually a good performance.
It was entertaining.
He did a good job.
Yeah. You know, when they got time to, you know, like train and stuff like that
yeah.
and do some of the moves. But I tell you what, man, it was, you know, when you watch him in there and you watch him, he looks so like unnatural.
Yeah.
Almost like.
He's not really a good actor. He's been in a few movies. He's just not a good actor.
Yeah.
He's just not.
Right. He's not, you know, in all his movies, he's got to, like, play himself. You know, like the Hangover movies or whatever, he's got to, like, play himself, you know, and that sort of thing. You know.
This
is a Robbie and alluding video.
Guys don't even know what Robbie looks like.
Manny Cotillo.
Guys don't know what Robbie looks like, so stop even pretending you do. Stop playing. Don't know what Robbie looks like.
Probably an alluding video. Yeah, I was telling you before we came on air, man. So everything here in Cincinnati, we're under curfew over here. I'm assuming in Columbus they're probably under the same thing. I don't know. I guess it might be statewide. Ohio Runs Boxing's in the chat. He could probably speak to it better than I can. But, yeah, I mean, they tore up one of our sections downtown here over the Rhine. Apparently they busted a bunch of windows, messed up a bunch of stores down there, stuff like that. So... Oh no, man! This whole thing is nuts, man.
That's
and you guys aren't having trouble over there at all in
no.
Boston?
No.
Well, good. Good.
I'm surprised too because there's a lot of stuff going on in New York.
Yeah.
California. But I'm surprised. I'm definitely surprised, man.
Crazy, man. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know what's funny about Manny Cotillo saying he saw Robbie in a looting video? You know what's funny about this whole thing is I'm going to get a call from Robert after the show saying, you know, I wasn't looting anything, Eric. I was at home.
Why are they making fun of me? Why are they making jokes about me?
Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it, Bede. What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you?
Kid's sensitive. You know how he is.
Oh, what's the matter with you? Stop it.
Gotta give him some tough love. You got to... Kid's gonna grow a sack.
Tough love.
Kid's gonna grow a sack, you know.
Kid. Tough love.
Can't be a punani all his life.
Oh, what?
A punani.
I haven't heard that in years. What's the matter with you? Ohio Runs Boxing says I live in Columbus, and yeah, they're acting like fools down here. Yeah, yeah. Well, the same thing over here, man. I tell you what. So yeah, it's been nuts, man. Did you see that video? You saw the video, right? Of that dude, and yeah, it don't look good, man. That's for sure.
I was watching a news show, and they were showing like back in 1992, where there was an African American guy, and he was like crying, and he was like when they were doing the looting back then in 1992, and he's like,
mm-hmm.
"Why are you guys breaking my stuff?" Like it was just so sad.
Yeah.
You know, because the problem is you're damaging people's stuff. That had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? You're,
right.
Like you're destroying your own community and the people that you live with that have businesses
yeah.
that had nothing to do with what was going on. So it's really heartbreaking and gut wrenching to see that. Really, it's especially with all this Corona stuff going on and now you add this to it. It's like
yeah.
wow,
it's insane, man.
It's something we didn't need, you know.
And then we just got locked down with another curfew. You know what I mean? Everybody gets to go out finally, and now they got to come back in.
But what the hell was that cop thinking? Honestly, what was he thinking? What was wrong with him? And those other cops just standing there and watching it. Oh,
yeah, that's the thing I probably had the hardest time with, man.
So disturbing.
And they're sitting around watching him and stuff like that. That was the toughest. I don't know, man. You know, and I could see, you know, I think his logic – was the guy was talking. You know what I mean? He's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. The guy was talking to him. He thinks to himself, if he can talk, he can't breathe. You know, he can breathe if he can talk, you know. But there was no reason to do what he did. I mean, there was no reason for the knee, you know. If you want to put a knee on him, put a knee on his back. The guy ain't going nowhere. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? So, it was just disgusting, to be honest with you.
Nokia K asks me,
do you know what Robbie looks like? That's probably one of the frequent questions we get is, like, what does Robbie look like?
I could not pick Robbie out of a lineup.
Couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Only thing I know is he's about bantamweight. Was he 118 pounds or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
Like 118 pounds.
Yeah, he's about 118, 120-something pounds. A twisted steel, baby. He's built like a squirrel. He's muscled up.
He can do about 3 push-ups.
On his knuckle. I mean, like on his fingertips, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You can do like the Bruce Lee push-ups.
Yeah, the Bruce Lee push-ups.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, back to business, B, here. So, I mean, let's get back to Mike Tyson here for a minute. Do you think, I mean, is this it? Or do you think he's still got to come back up his sleeves? Because I'll be honest with you. I got a feeling
that Holyfield fight's going to happen.
And you know what? I was kind of relieved when I saw this. I'll be honest, man, because I don't want to see him back in the ring.
Dana White was saying that same thing. He's saying, if he ends up fighting, I'll go to it because I'll support him. But I don't believe a 53-year-old man should be fighting.
No. I mean, what for? I mean, really, like, what for? I mean, he's got, you know, he's probably making money on his podcast, you know, everything like that. He's got that weed farm. I mean, why come back, man? It makes no sense. And I don't care what it's for. Why come back? Tito Ortiz. Do you think Tito Ortiz could beat him?
Right now?
Yeah.
In a straight-up boxing match?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
Not a boxing match.
Because that's what Tito Ortiz was one of the people. A lot of people came out and said they accepted the offer. I guess that Mike accepted the offer to fight him. Tito Ortiz came out and said, yeah, that fight's going to happen. Shannon Briggs came out and said, yeah, the fight's going to happen. Vander Holyfield. And then the only one who's getting a piece of Mike Tyson right now is Chris Jericho, man. That's it.
Can Shannon Briggs beat Mike Tyson right now?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Briggs would dismantle him right now.
Yeah.
I think he would anyway.
I don't know.
I think he would.
That would be an interesting fight.
It's a very interesting fight. About 3 champions came right out of there, right out of Brownsville. How crazy is that? 3 heavyweight champions. Doesn't make any sense.
I think Tyson may be able to beat Briggs, man. Because Briggs has been on the shelf for a while.
Briggs is a little bit younger, isn't he?
Not that much younger, really, to be honest. Not that much younger. He's in his Tyson's 53. What's Briggs like? Like 47, 48?
Listen, man, Notorious VC in the chat just said it the best. He just said it the best, man. Tyson looked washed 20 years ago. He did. He looked, and 15 years ago, the last time he fought? It was about 15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years ago.
He said he looked washed. He said 1 8-second video where he's on rocket fuel and people are back on a bandwagon. He's right in the sense that, like I said, man, he looked washed 15 years ago. When he got knocked out in that fight, completely washed, you know, I don't understand. Like, why do we think that he can possibly make a comeback? You know what I mean? And fight somebody like, you know, a younger guy or whatever. And
this is America, Eric. Everyone deserves a comeback story. You know, this is what we believe in this country. You're crushing people's dreams here.
Jesus.
You're crushing people's dreams here. This is the land of hopes and dreams.
Oh, stop it.
Anyone can do anything.
Listen, man, you're a long way from Hollywood, son. I'm telling
anybody,
you, this ain't a Rocky movie. You ain't gonna see Mike Tyson at 12 hours going,
can
cut
do
me.
Anything.
Cut me. Let me finish this out. It's over, son.
If you could change, and I could change. We all can change. Adrian. How about this one? Remember this one? Mick. Mick. Why are you doing this to me, Mick?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Ohio Runs Boxing, thank you so much. He said, Robbie probably looked like the father with glasses from the movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Oh, man.
I would pay Robbie.
What's that?
I would pay Robbie $200 just to show his face once on camera.
He doesn't have the equipment. He doesn't have the equipment.
He could do it on his phone. Right?
Yeah.
You know what he should do? He should, like, do a selfie, send it to us, and then we can just quick screen share it. Text him. Ask him if he'll do it.
Yeah. Let me just drop everything and go ask him. Yeah, let's go ask him, you know.
Oh,
my God.
Think we can get a screenshot?
It's insane. And
He's like Kai Gasosa.
Who?
That movie there. Wasn't that movie with Hey, what's happening, brother?
What's happening, man?
You came out of nowhere.
DJ, what's happening? It's a good thing you interrupted right now. I mean, it's a good thing
this
that you showed up here because
yeah, this
is
going down.
Just
this going
down.
This is going down a rabbit hole that we really want to go down.
DJ, I want to thank you for showing up right now because Dave was about to take this show in the gutter where he usually takes it. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you, guys. Great opportunity to be here.
Absolutely, no man. Jeez, look at the trophy case behind it.
I was about to say.
What in the world?
Looking official back there.
Yeah, really. He's got
looking official.
Look at all that stuff. I thought I got two belts over here, and I thought I was doing pretty good, man. I'm looking at his. But, you know, he actually earned his. Let's put it on. I just got him on eBay.
It.
Yeah, I just got mine on eBay, you know.
You guys got it out of a Cracker Jack box.
It's still a nice box. I mean, it wasn't, you know.
Of course.
So, this is DJ Zamora. DJ, for all of you guys who don't know, you are 3-0, correct? 3-0 with two knockouts? All right. So, let me ask you a question. Now, your nickname is the War Machine, or is it the Natural?
The War Machine. That's correct.
Wow.
A lot of people call me the Natural, but my nickname is the War Machine that I go by.
I wish I could have a cool nickname like that, Beeb. I wish I could call myself the War Machine.
Well,
I can't do that.
Don't you remember the Avengers, that character, War Machine?
Yep.
You remember that, right? You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Who's the War Machine on the Avengers?
He was like the guy that had like the Iron Man suit on, but his was like a different color.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, War Machine.
Like it. I like it, man.
And there's another War Machine that was in MMA. You don't want to be that War Machine.
You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be
that's
that
guy. That's the guy that got locked up. You know that guy, right? The guy that got locked up?
Yeah.
So he don't need that name anymore, so you could take it.
So, I don't know. So, you're 17. You're 17. You got three pro fights.
Yep. 17 years old.
What in the world, man? So, you turned pro. You had three fights in Tijuana, correct? Wow. So, let me ask you a question. So, I know the first guy you fought was about, 30 years old or something like that? I think it was 28, 29, something like that. About 30 years old, I want to say?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. So, you go in there because you turned pro, like, when you were 16, right? So, when you turn, so are you like, what did you think about going against a 30-year-old guy? I mean, like.
You know what? I try not to think about the age too much. You know, it is a fight. You know, I want to win. He wants to win, too. So, more or less, looking at the age doesn't really matter to me. You know, we're just two fighters getting in there, and that's what was really important.
Gotcha. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't imagine that. Like, I mean, this guy's beating the tar out of, like, grown men beat. Like, could you imagine how emasculating it would be to get him in the gym, get him in the ring, and he's 16, and he just kills you, and he just beats the snot out of you for three straight rounds?
Let me ask you this, because every time, like, there's a Filipino fighter coming up, the question always is asked, is he going to be the next Manny Pacquiao? Has anyone said that to you, during your come up when you turn pro? Are you going to be the next Manny Pacquiao? Has that been said to you?
Yeah, it's been brought up before, you know, especially because I'm a southpaw also.
Yeah.
Correlation. But, yeah, it's been brought up. You know, I think that, you know, I don't really have that style. You know, it's a good style to watch, but, you know, it's not too good to actually try to replicate. But
well, you're coming –
if you want, you know.
Yeah, coming from that Mayweather gym, training there is totally, it's like,
yeah,
night and day. The style, that style compared to Manny Pacquiao's style is like night and day, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how would you describe your style exactly?
I'd like to say if you had to put me in a category, I'm more of a boxer puncher. You know, I could do a little both. I'm pretty good at boxing, more boxing than punching. You know, given that I have a good amount of height and reach, so I like to keep my distance. But, you know, if push ups comes to shove and I really have to, you know, I can get in and do some punching as well.
Wow. Did you catch the video of him when he was like, I think when you were like 8 years old or something like that? It was you and Roger Mayweather hitting the mitts.
Yeah.
He was hitting the pads in there. I mean, he looked good. And this was at
classic.
Eight.
That was classic.
This was like at eight, man.
So you trained with both of the Mayweathers. Talk about that. How is it different training with Roger as opposed to training with Floyd Sr.?
I didn't really do too much training with Floyd Sr. You know, my main coach was Roger at the time.
Okay, okay.
Out of my training with him.
Okay.
But it was a great experience. You know, I was a kid. So I didn't really think about it much then. You know, Coach Roger was just Coach Roger to me. But, you know, as I look back at it now, I really realize the experience and what a grateful opportunity that I had.
What type of sparring was there? I heard you sparred with some big names down there. Talk about that a little bit.
When I was eight or now?
How about now?
Either or, I mean.
I'm here. You're fighting like Sean Porter and everybody over there.
Yeah, I have sparred Sean Porter. Also sparred Shakur Stevenson, Tukstok Nyambayar, Gabriel Flores. You know, I've gotten a chance to share the ring with Keyshawn Davis as well. You know, a lot of great guys, you know, I've been able to have the opportunity to spar.
Wow.
Who are you impressed with most out of those guys? Who do you think gave you the best work?
You know what? It's got to be a toss-up between Sean Porter and Shakur Stevenson. You know, I'm not trying to knock all the other guys either.
Yeah.
You know, all great fighters. But, you know, it was just different, you know, sparring Sean Porter. You know, what a great caliber fighter he is.
Yeah. A lot bigger than you, too.
Yeah, right?
Being in the ring with him was an amazing feeling. And Shakur Stevenson also, you know, he's just a really smart guy, real smart technical fighter. It's really like a chess match when I was in there with him.
That's got to be a good experience for you. I mean, are you helping, and I read too, that you were helping Leo Santa Cruz get ready? Is that correct?
You know what? I'm not too sure now. You know, we were thinking about going over there, but, you know, then all this happened with the lockdown and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of waiting for the call. But, you know, whenever that does happen, you know, I'll surely be down there.
Absolutely, man. So when is with all this going on, do you know when your next fight is going to be?
No, not really. You know, everything's starting to open up out here. You know,
yeah.
We're in phase two. So we're just trying to stay in shape. You know, I'm just in the gym training, you know, trying to stay in as best shape as I can, you know, before fight time so that whenever we do have a fight, you know, and we get that call, you know, I'm ready to go.
Now, you got off to a fast start this year. You had two fights in the books already. Talk about, you know, that momentum being lost now, and how are you dealing with that?
You know what? It kind of sucked. You know, I like fighting. So it felt good being in the ring, you know, constantly, you know, in that training. But, you know, it's also good because I get the chance to actually, you know, step back and actually work on things rather than just preparing for a fight all the time. You know, so it really gives me the opportunity to get back to the basics and really work on myself and perfect my craft.
Now, your last fight went the distance, correct? It went four rounds? It was a four-round whitewash. I mean, it was four-round unanimous. Talk about that. Was, you know, as you keep going forward, you know, are you in there kind of experimenting? I mean, in the ring, are you trying to get this guy out of here? What is your thought process when you're in there?
You know what? With that fight, you know, he was game. He was a great fighter. You know, he came to win. I came to win as well. But with your question, you know, I'm not really trying to rush anything. I don't want to rush. You know, something that my coaches always stress to me is, you know, take your time. If the knock comes, then it comes. But the win is the most important. So that's what we're really trying to mainly focus on rather than just getting them out of there quick. And it's also good to get the rounds as well.
Now, the first two fights you had were at featherweight, and this last fight was at 130. What weight class are you going to settle in at?
You know what? I feel real comfortable making the weight at 126. You know,
so you can be a featherweight then. Okay, that's definitely. A red hot division too.
Yeah, it is.
Right now, definitely, it definitely is.
So sparring guys, you know, and you sparring guys, like I said, Sean Porter and like guys like Shakur Stevenson. I mean, you know, do you think that gives you like a leg up as far as, not to mention your gym. Your gym is packed full of like red hot prospects, man. I mean, you got the Barrientos over there and everything. So talk about that a little bit. I mean, what it's like and, you know, how much experience do you really pick up in there? You must pick up a lot.
You know what? It's definitely kind of like being on a fast track, you know, me being so young and sparring guys so like older than me and with more experience, you know, it definitely gives me the opportunity to learn a lot more and a lot faster. And, you know, these guys, they're not in there just trying to kill me either.
Right.
You know, they give me the opportunity to learn as well.
For sure, man. So what do you think, you know, in the gym, and we mentioned all the prospects, you know, you guys have a lot of prospects in that gym, a lot of good fighters, a lot of great fighters in that gym. What separates you from those guys? What makes you, what's going to put you on the world title stage? You know, what separates you?
Oh, man, you gave me a hard one. You know, not to knock any of my guys. You know, we all work. You know, we're all trying to get to that top level. But, you know, me, I just keep my head in the dirt and, you know, try to just grind out and train, you know, 100% every day and try to be the best in the gym out of everybody. You know, we all push each other to be great anyway with the competition being so high. We're always trying to be better than one another, you know. So I think that is what's going to push me to that next level, you know, also. And I feel like, you know, I have a great work ethic, and I always bring my best every time I step in the gym.
Because of what's going on with the pandemic, has it been hard to get the quality training in? Has it been hard to get some sparring in? What have you been able to do during this trying times?
Training, not so much. You know, I mainly train at home. So we have a gym at home. You know, I've got a heavy bag, double end bag.
Oh, that's great.
Basic training needs, you know. But sparring definitely has been, you know, kind of hard to get around, especially with all the people, you know, they want to keep their distance as well. Can't
right.
blame.
Yep.
So, you know, we've been trying to show up to the gym, you know, to get some sparring when we can.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough thing. Like we mentioned earlier, that momentum that you had. I mean, like I said, you had the fights, you know, your fights and everything, and all of a sudden things just come to a halt. And even training and sparring in a lot of ways come to a halt. I mean, how have you kind of kept your mental state through all of this?
You know, I'm just trying to stay positive. You know, like I said earlier, just take it as a time to get back to the basics and really perfect my craft, you know, also not trying to rush anything. So, you know, when the time comes for me to fight, you know, I'm ready to go. And like Errol Smith, you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Good attitude.
That's a great attitude to have. Absolutely. So let me ask you a question. If I gave you, say, $100, would you beat up my co-host, Beeb? You could take Beeb in a second. How long would it take? Let me ask you this. How long would it take for you to knock out Beeb?
I thought you would ask him a math question. If I give you $100 and I take away 25, how much do you have left? What do you think this is?
Once we subtract Beeb's doctor bills out of this, how much?
Why would a guy like that want to beat up an old 50-year-old like me?
I'm going to tell you why, Beeb, because he's having trouble finding sparring.
Bag. He doesn't need another.
Because he's having trouble finding sparring.
He needs another heavy bag.
All right. Listen, I'm going to give him $100. He's going to work you over, son. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, you guys are both great guys. You know,
there you go. See? You respect his elders. He respects his elders. Trying to corrupt the kid at a young age.
It's what I'm here for. It's what I'm here for.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. So boxing is coming back, I believe, in June. June 9th, Top Rank has a card and everything. Are you excited to get back and kind of – have you heard anything like when gyms are opening up, when things are kind of get back to normal and out there, out your way?
You know, like I said, we entered phase two. So the gyms are starting to open up now. So with
oh,
that,
wow.
Part of us are being able to get back.
Yeah, that's great because our gym's on opening up till phase three.
Really?
Massachusetts. Yeah, and we're still stuck. We're still stuck in phase one. This governor doesn't realize what he's doing to me because I'm going crazy not being able to go to the gym. I'm out there walking 10 miles a day just to get this stress off me.
Yeah.
Doing push-ups. I'm doing like the jailhouse workouts, like the push-ups at the house and stuff. This is crazy.
Jailhouse workouts?
I feel like,
what is wrong with you?
I'm just being honest. This is really stressing me out.
Jailhouse workouts.
This is stressing me out. I don't have a heavy bag over here. I don't
what,
have
you
these
making
things,
shanks
like...
in your spare time? What's the matter with you?
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. All right, DJ. Well, listen, man, we appreciate you coming on, man. We can't thank you enough, man. This was great, man. I love talking to you guys, man. You got to let us know after your next fight, man. You got to come back on and let us know how it went and all that other stuff. And, man, just keep us posted on your career and everything, man.
Yeah, we'll be following you.
Yeah, for sure.
Keeping an eye out for you.
Yeah, that way, once he becomes champion and everything like that, he'll come back on. You know, he's not just going to let us disappear, you know.
Yeah. And that's world title. Don't forget who put you on.
That's right.
Now I'm starting to sound like Michelle Joy Phelps now. Like, you owe me something.
You owe me something. That's right.
That's an inside joke. That's an inside joke.
What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? I'm sorry. DJ, I apologize for Beeb. Beeb's a little out of hand today, you know. I told you. You know,
a little too
when you
much
came
caffeine.
On.
A little too much caffeine.
That's right. That's why we got to cut him off early. You know what I'm saying? He drinks all that coffee. He gets wired up, you know, and there you go. There it is. All right, DJ, man, we will talk to you soon, man. Thank you so much. Hey, before we – you got an Instagram or anything?
You can follow me on Instagram at DJJZ3.
DJJZ3.
Yes.
There we go. Catch him on
right.
Instagram, guys. DJ, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Stay safe, my young man.
You too. You guys stay
safe.
All right, man.
Take care.
What a good kid, man. What a good guy. Man.
You know, I like
I hate calling him a kid. I hate calling him a kid because this kid could just, like, beat the snot out of me.
You know why
you know?
I love
but,
these interviews? You know why I love these interviews? Because when we talk to these young men, right,
mm-hmm.
and we ask them questions, they're not evasive. Like, there's an old saying, like, kids don't lie. Like, they're you know, when a kid is young, they're not corrupted, so they tell you the truth. That's how I feel when we interview these young boxers. Like, they're all motivated, they're happy, that you know, they haven't been, you know, corrupted and jaded from the business yet. So when we ask them questions, they're, you know, they're very forthcoming and they're just upbeat. These interviews, if you know,
he's
these
upbeat.
Last two interviews,
yeah, that's the
these
thing,
last
man.
Two interviews that we've done, they've been very upbeat. But when we, you know, sometimes we'll interview like a veteran or whatever. And you can see the difference. They're jaded a little bit, right? And you got to pry the answers out of them. But these young kids, they're just very forthcoming, and we have great interviews with them, you know?
And this guy was like, you know, it's like you talk to him, he's so full of energy, so full of life,
yeah.
He's so full of, you know, he loves the sport. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you have to have a love in order to get in here and do it, but he's got that love of the sport. You can tell, man.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Tamika Watts says, this kid is amazing and will go very far. I agree. He's on the fast track too, Beeb. Listen, admittedly, I don't know, you know, how it goes, you know, as far as like the sparring and stuff. But look, man, they're not going to put him in there with Shakur Stevenson. They're not going to put him in there with guys like killers like that with three pro fights. You know what I mean? Sean Porter's a bigger guy, and I understand they're teaching him and everything like that. But these are big guys, and he's helped. What was it? What is the guy's name? The King. King Tug Niambar. All right.
Okay.
He was helping him get ready for a fight. This wasn't like he was just in there to teach him. He's got to work.
The kid's not going to get brought in to give these guys work if he couldn't fight. You know?
For sure.
There's just no way, man. So if all these guys are giving him the call, there's got to be a reason for it.
Listen,
and he's only 17 years old. So what's going to happen when he's in it, when he's 20?
Whether he goes to camp and helps Leo Santa Cruz or not, he got the call. That was a possibility on the table. So they think a lot of him to bring him out here to spar, help him get ready for somebody. I mean, that kid's the real deal. Mario told me last week when we had him on, he said he's from the same gym and this kid is the real deal. There's no, like, you know, And you can tell, you know, we saw some of the sparring footage. We saw, you know, like I said, and you've seen some of this training footage. And this kid,
you know,
he's good.
You know
he's
what
got
this
something.
Kid has? You know what this kid has that could separate him from the pack? It's the speed. He's very fast.
He's quick. He's quick.
That's the thing.
And
really quick.
The thing they talked about, too, is his IQ, is his wing IQ. That's something that, you know, that's not, you can't teach that. It's like any kind of sports and everything like that, man, you can't teach that. You know,
yeah.
I always talk about it in soccer, you know. I say, you know, they say what separates it, because everybody can basically physically do the same thing. When you're at that level, everybody can pretty much do the same thing. But the thing that separates you is that IQ. When do you do what you want to do? Jessica Torres says she's proud of JJ, and that's Zamora. Let's see here.
He's got a good
little angle on that. Alec Lada, I love BJJ.
That's nice. Maybe you guys can subscribe to the channel.
That's right. Yeah, don't forget to subscribe to us, man.
Give this channel some love because we'll be doing a lot more interviews like this.
Yeah.
Young up-and-coming boxers. That's what we have for.
Pretty Girl Thinks says, love this interview. Look at him. He's got girls all over him, man. Look at that.
Look at this.
Look at that. Like a young Beeb over there. Look at that.
Got a nice little fan club.
That's right. Love it. Love it,
thank,
man.
Thank you guys for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate it for sure. Yeah, I can't wait to see this guy fight, man. Him and the Barrientos twins again. I cannot wait to see him fight, man. I really can't.
He's a PBC guy, too?
I believe so. I believe.
Yeah.
I would think he is. I mean, I don't know for 100% sure. And he may not have, like, I don't know that he can be right now because, you know, he's 17. He just turned 17.
You can box, I think, when you're 17. If you have to get a you have to get a permission slip. You know, your parents can sign for you to fight if you're 17. You can't fight if you're 16, but you can fight if you're 17.
Can you imagine being a pro athlete?
You have to get permission from your parents.
Can you imagine being a pro athlete at 16?
But you know what's funny? In Mexico, you can turn pro like at 15. They don't care.
Turn pro at 12. Nobody cares.
But here you have to be 17, depending upon the state. But imagine if your mother said, all right, if you don't behave, I'm not going to let you box. I'm not going to sign the paper if you don't behave. Keep acting up. I'm not going to sign that paper. You can't fight.
Get your homework done and your room clean, you know.
You're not going to box.
That's crazy, isn't it? Like, yeah, I mean, that's really something else, man. Can you imagine, like, when you were 16, getting a fight with somebody that's 30?
Got three pro fights, so apparently he's all set, you know?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, his first pro fight was against a guy, like, you know, because, you know, when you're younger, like, age is usually, like, a big thing, you know?
Well, let me ask you a question. Antonio turned 17, all right? He's been training since he was – say he's been training since he was, I don't know, 10.
Yeah.
Right? And then he says, Dad, I want to turn pro right now. Can you sign the waiver for me? What does Mr. Eric Lauder do?
Man, I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
But you know, my biggest concern with him would be, can he defend himself? And granted, you know, if he's been boxing since he was 10 or whatever, and now he's 18 or 17, and he wants to turn pro. I get it. I'd want to know that he's able to protect himself and be okay in there.
Oh, Pretty Girl Things is his mom.
Wow, there you go,
oh
man.
My God.
All right.
Wow, that's awesome.
Love it, man. Love
so let me ask you this question then. Did you have reservations about him turning pro so young? How did you feel about that? I'm sure you must have been a little nervous about that, right? Should have her call in.
Yeah, hey, if Pretty Girl Things, if you can, do me a favor, call in. I got it. Let me do it, man. Let me drive.
I'm a little excited. I want to talk. Sorry. You know, but I get a little excited, you know.
I got the sun in my eyes over here. I don't have shades up yet.
You know what?
What's going on at Beeb Industries here? Where are my shades?
You do a good job driving this ship. I gotta let you do it. Yeah, she's going to call in.
All right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Call in. 323-870-3857. Go ahead and call in, and we'll go ahead and put you right on, man. Yeah, because that's an interesting question. Like, you know, in my case, like with Antonio, and Antonio doesn't box or anything like that, but, you know, if he did, and like I said, he goes to 17, I want to know that, like I said, that he's capable of handling himself.
Yeah.
Because,
defense,
like I said,
the big thing, Eric, it's not the offense.
Yes, for sure.
Because if people don't know, the first thing you do when you get into the gym, they don't put you on the bag. They stick you in the mirror. They stick you in front of the mirror, and they want you to work on your footwork and your hand positioning, and they want to make sure you're pulling your punches back after you throw them, pulling your hands back up. So they don't let you touch the bags for a couple weeks.
Right. And a lot of gyms, they don't even let you get in the ring and spar until they think you're ready.
Sometimes it takes months to spar. Mm-hmm. You'd be in a gym for 6 months before they let you spar.
Now, that's the crazy thing about, like, say, MMA gyms. They'll let you spar, like, right now.
They let you roll. Yeah,
it's a light sparring, though. It's not, like, crazy, you know. They're not, like, getting out of hand or anything.
But it's a lot of rolling, right? It's mostly the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu stuff, mostly.
Now, that you can go full tilt on. Now, that's one of those things where you can kind of go full tilt on and, you know, go really hard in there and fight. And, you know, you're not going to hurt yourself or anything like that. I mean, you know, because once you get locked out in the hold, that's it. You're going to tap or that's it. So,
yeah.
But the boxing in there, a lot of times, like, they'll have, like, the boxing and the Muay Thai and stuff like that. It's very light. It's not like you're not trying to kill the other person. You're not trying to hit hard or anything like that. So yeah, man.
That's good.
Yeah. So, good deal here. Let's see.
Well, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have boxing. A
couple of weeks. Coming up June 9th, I believe, Tuesday. I don't know. They're having it on a Tuesday.
That's kind of weird, but I'll take it.
I will, too.
I'll take
it. Shakur Stevenson headlining that.
Yeah, that's going to be a good fight.
Yeah. So, there. You know, and I saw some people on social media, our friend, you know, Jason. He's raking on the top rank card.
Why?
And I'm like, well, you know, do you think you're going to see, like, big fights right now? You're not going to.
He doesn't get it, man.
He doesn't get it. And you're not going to see big-time fights right now.
We will see that Teofimo Lopez, Vasily Lomachenko fight.
And it doesn't get any bigger than that, right?
In September. It's very likely, highly likely that we're going to see that in September, according to Bob Arum.
Right.
So that's...
That's a big fight. That'll be the fight of the year. That'll be the biggest fight of the year.
I told Bob. I said, that's the fight I'm looking forward to the most. I said, that's the most highly anticipated fight in my sights right now. Definitely looking forward to that.
That is honestly, that is the biggest fight of the year, right?
And I'm picking Teofimo.
How dare you? Over Loma?
Yep. You've been wrong a lot, Eric. You've been wrong a lot. You picked Wilder.
It's a young man's game now.
Right.
You know, it's a young man's game now. What can I say? I was a champ. I had a great run. And
belt right there should be at my house, not yours. I'm the champ.
That's right. Somebody asked me if this was Riddick Bowe's belt. Riddick Bowe's old belt that he put in the trash.
You know, I like that. I like the money belt. The money belt
belt's nice, isn't it?
I like the money belt. That's like one of my favorite WBC belts. What's it called? The Mayan belt or something?
That's called the money belt. The other one...
the Mayan belt was the one for Golovkin, and then
that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was nice. That was really between that one and that one,
I think is those two. I like the WBC belts. I really do. I think they're sharp.
I do too. I wish they wouldn't give them out to they just have one just cause, you know. But I mean, they're really cool belts. Nobody else does that. The only one, who was it? The IBF did that, or not the IBF, the WBA did that. For the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, they made that, like, super belt or something like that.
Yeah, commemorative belt. Yeah. I like those
that.
Belts.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. So, yeah, I that's a tough fight. Loma and Teofimo, man.
A lot of people picking. There's a good amount of people picking Teofimo.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith said the money belt. Yes, this belt right here.
That's the money belt.
That's the money belt, son. That is the money belt. I love how, like, we got we interviewed DJ. He's got a bunch of belts in the background too. Only he's like won all those belts. You know what I mean? Like,
those are all amateur belts.
Yeah, those are the ones he won. You know, so yeah, man, it's crazy. Crazy. That was a good interview, man. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. All right, let's talk about this, man. So Tyson Fury landed as number 11 on the Forbes richest athletes list. He led boxers, by the way. He was number 11. Let's see here. So number one, of course, Roger Federer. I mean, who wouldn't have thought that? Roger Federer was number one. Cristiano Ronaldo, two. Lionel Messi, three. Neymar, four. LeBron James rounds out the top five. Conor McGregor was 16. Anthony Joshua was 19th. And Deontay Wilder is 20th.
That's an eye-opener.
It really is, because, you know, what do we've talked about this prior to. Deontay, he doesn't really have many endorsements. You know, like Anthony Joshua, I would think, used to have a ton of endorsements. I don't know if he still does.
$11 million in endorsements.
How much?
$11 million.
Anthony Joshua does?
Yes.
And, yeah, wow. It's a lot, man. It's a lot, right?
Yeah. But again, Deontay Wilder made it pretty penny this year, or in this year's period, because of the pay-per-view.
Yeah. And Tyson Fury, you know, he fought Otto Wallen.
Yeah. Fought three times plus that WWE appearance. And guess how much he has in endorsements?
How much?
$7 million. So these UK guys can get a lot of endorsements. Like back in the day, remember Sugar Ray Leonard had that endorsement with Franklin?
Seven Up. Franklin.
Seven Up commercials.
Yeah.
Back in the day, fighters could actually do pretty well with endorsements, right?
Right.
Get glove endorsements and stuff.
Sure.
Now, it's in the United States, it's slim pickings, but these UK guys, with the help of MTK Global and a lot of the management companies they have over there, and Anthony Joshua's got a great manager in Freddie Cunningham, who does a lot of good work with him. These guys hustle over there, and they get their fighters really good endorsements.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why? It always puzzled me. Deontay Wilder always puzzled me on why he doesn't have more endorsements. Or why he doesn't have endorsements.
Floyd never had endorsements either.
No, he really didn't. But, you know, Wilder's one of those guys that's a likable guy.
Yeah.
He's a likable guy, man. You talk to him 5 minutes, man, you love the guy.
Yeah.
He's like your best friend, you know? I mean, he's a super nice guy.
I kind of get what you're saying.
You know? I don't understand why he never got, you know, why he never got his just due when it comes to that. And I can't help but imagine it's because he wants to promote himself.
Yeah, got $500,000 in endorsements. That's compared to the $7 million and the $11 million.
Yeah,
Joshua does very. Canelo only has like $2 million in endorsements.
About three soccer players in the top five.
Yeah,
correct.
But here's the thing with Canelo. Canelo only fought one time. If he fought twice, he would have been in the top ten. That was the problem.
Yeah.
He made $37 million, $35 million in one fight, and $2 million on endorsements.
Yeah.
If he fought twice, then he would have definitely been in the top ten. Now you got John Jones complaining because he's hearing what Deontay Wilder's making, and now he wants to make more money. I don't think he specifically wants Deontay Wilder money, but he definitely deserves more than $500,000 a fight. I'll tell you that.
He's getting more than $500,000 a fight.
Well,
what they don't tell you is all his fights are on pay per view. He gets a cut of
that.
I
get that. But even with that, they're giving Conor McGregor $3 million guarantees. Now, I'm not saying he should be getting that, but they should at least give John Jones a $1 million guarantee up front. No?
I don't think that's outrageous. I don't think that's outrageous.
No, $500,000 for a guarantee.
You know, but then, you know what? You look at the way Dana White runs his business, runs the UFC and everything like that. He's not having this problem that boxing's having now. Because now, like, boxing is shut down. Now they're relying on gates and everything like that. Now you don't have that. I mean, they can still pay their fighters.
Well, they're going to be losing a big chunk of money, though.
Well, sure they are.
I guess your point is this. These guys aren't going to be – these guys will still fight regardless, whereas the boxing guys now, because they've got so much money before, now they're going to be more – they're going to pick and choose more.
Yeah.
But again, the way that's run over there is if they don't fight, they got nowhere else to go. They're under contract, whereas a boxer, they can move around, a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys can bounce around because they're not really tied in to long-term promotional deals.
Yeah. I tell you, man, it's something else. I mean, you know, and I heard about the John Jones thing earlier on.
That's crazy, right?
This week. John Jones and Dana White says, bar none, John Jones is probably the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah.
You know, greatest fighter ever. And I agree with him. I, you know, it's hard. I mean, who's better than him?
But here's the thing. there's been no one has been a bigger draw in the sport of MMA than Conor McGregor.
No,
it's not even close.
No question. It's not even close. It's not even close. You can point to, like, say, Ronda Rousey, who was outdrawing everybody in her heyday. But Conor McGregor outdraws everyone.
Even Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone, that did close to a million.
And that was a one-sided demolition, man.
That wasn't even a title fight.
Yeah. Tiny Tim has said if the USC is doing great, they should pay the fighters. They do pay the fighters. They don't pay them boxing salaries. And, you know, there's a big misconception when it comes to USC and when it comes to boxing as far as what people get paid. I don't know who gets paid more. I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
Oh, the boxers make more. I'll tell you why.
Well, do the boxers – okay, so let's take a mid-card guy. Let's take, like, a mid-card guy. You know, like on Heyman's, like on PBC, if they don't even make TV, how much are they making? You know what I mean? Are they making more than a UFC guy that doesn't make TV?
Okay, here's the problem. You know how much John Jones's opponents get? 30,000, 40,000? That's garbage.
Yeah.
That's garbage. So the mid-card guys, all you got to do is look at the UFC. They're making like $1,000, some of them. $5,000, some of them. So I just don't buy this whole thing that Dana White has said, though, we pay all our guys well and boxing only pays the top guys well. I'm not buying that. The thing with boxing right now is just there's never been more money in the sport of boxing than now because with this ESPN deal, because of, you know, PBC, it has this huge deal with Fox.
Yeah.
There's just a lot. Boxing is definitely making a resurgence. I really don't think boxing's in trouble right now. I'm just being honest.
Well, I think my thing is when this whole COVID thing came out, and you know, businesses, you know, are going to go by the wayside. We all know that.
Sure.
But my thing is the top ranks, the PBCs,
yep.
The match rooms, those are all going to survive. Okay, they got enough in to survive.
Exactly.
The local shows, though. Or where it's going to suffer. That's where I think it's going to suffer. You know, the up-and-coming guys in the local towns and everything like that, that's where I think that it may – I mean, I hope it doesn't. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it bounces back. But that's kind of what I think. Pound-for-pound boxing says, DJ is the truth, did 68 rounds with King Tug to help him get ready for his last fight. Yeah, I told you he was sparring King Tug to get ready, to help him get ready. That's insane. That's a lot of rounds.
I can't wait to talk to his mom.
Yeah, I hope she calls in, man. I hope she calls in before the show's over. But, yeah, 68 rounds, that's a lot. I mean, King Tug's a murderer, too, man. That guy can fight. That's not just like a lame duck in there. That guy is the truth, man. That guy is he can fight. Tiny Tim is going to ask, is UFC more popular than boxing in the U.S.?
I would say yes.
I would say yeah. I would say hands down, yes. I would say hands down, yes. If you just look at the gates, for the MMA versus the gates for boxing, there's a big difference.
The problem is their tickets are a little cheaper, and their pay-per-views are like $65. The boxing pay-per-views are $80. So that's why the revenue generated is a little bit different. They're not doing $17 million gate.
Yeah, didn't Bob Arum allude to this and say maybe we should shrink down the pay-per-view or something like that? Or who said that?
I think Eddie Hearn said it.
Maybe Eddie Hearn said it, to shrink down the pay-per-view, you know, as far as, like, the pricing and stuff.
Can I say one thing, though?
What's up?
Anytime I hear someone say that boxers are overpaid, you know what I tell them to do? Go on YouTube and just put Gerald McClellan versus Nigel Benn in the search bar.
Yeah.
And then fast forward that fight to the 10th round, and then ask yourself, are they really overpaid?
Mantini, Duku Kim, same way.
Same thing.
Lace them up. This is rich from a guy who's never laced them up. You know what I mean? It's always the guys who haven't done it who say they're overpaid and everything like that.
I think it's an insult to boxers to say that they're overpaid.
Pound for pound boxing in Las Vegas is the future of boxing. Shout out to those guys. And you know what? He's right, because that's where Variantes are from. That's where the DJ's from. Yeah, they got a lot of good guys in that gym, man.
Yeah,
that's a good gym, man. They got a lot of good guys in there, man.
Yeah,
for sure. So shout out to those guys, man. And thanks to those guys for tuning in. And, hey, man, thanks for bringing these fighters on, man. That's great, too, man. Thank you so much, Aaron Daly. Shout out to the two co-hosts, Georgie and Jason. That's right. Georgie, speaking of Georgie, says they are overpaid big time. We were just talking about this.
Okay, Georgie, go on YouTube and search Gerald McClellan versus Nigel Benn and fast forward it to the 10th round. And ask me if what happened to Gerald McClellan, if he's overpaid.
Insane, man. Insane.
That's all.
Insane. As we said earlier, boxing is returning to Nevada. The Nevada State Athletic Commission has cleared the way for combat sports to return. The top-ranked card on June 9th is now a go. So boxing's coming back to Nevada. All combat sports are coming back to Nevada. Now, the big question, of course, is when will we have crowds? You know, when can we go back to the fights? I predict that we'll be back in before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Thoughts, you know,
I think we'll have crowds possibly I would say in August. I think we'll have crowds
that early?
Yeah.
Wow.
No later than September.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, man. I think that might be a little bit too soon, but who knows, man? Who knows?
We'll have social distancing crowds.
Were they? Yeah. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me where like somebody sits like, you know, every other seat or something like that.
But I think they'll let obviously families and stuff sit together.
You know what? And ours is starting to tick up too, man. I said with everybody opening and stuff like that, it's starting to tick up a little bit. I think. I just looked it up. It was 20,000 today that
but
came down with it.
But the deaths aren't really increasing.
No, we're averaging about 1,000 a day, I think. About 1,000 a day. It's a lot. Imagine how 1,000 people dying a day.
Sucks, huh?
Crazy, right? Crazy. Train wreck of the week this week, man. Beeb, your boy, Jermall Charlo, named as a suspect in an aggravated assault case. This is coming from the ABC 13 News in Houston. Missouri, Texas, Jermall Charlo has been named a suspect in the assault investigation, according to the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office. Charlo is allegedly connected to an altercation that happened during a party at his mansion near Missouri City. Deputy said the investigation is ongoing and Charlo has not been charged with a crime at this moment. What's going on over there, man? His own party, and he's throwing people around. I mean, wait, you know, guys, man.
It's a shame, isn't it?
These are the guys, man. But, you know, like, I mean, you got a lot to lose. This is what you got to understand, man. Like, you got a lot to lose. You can't be doing that stuff anymore.
Yeah,
you can't do crazy stuff anymore, man.
You know, you got the spotlight on you once you become a quote-unquote celebrity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of celebrities, you got Georgie on the line, 508.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey,
508,
yo!
You're live.
What's happening, people?
Georgie.
Man, listen, I love
it going, buddy.
I love you guys. I'm okay. Thank the Lord.
You okay? Yeah, you holding?
Get I'm all right, baby. As a matter of fact, couldn't be better.
That was kind of random.
That was good. That was zing, boy. Yeah.
Listen.
Like Nancy Pelosi.
What you guys always going against your own interests. I just don't get it, bro. I just don't get it. You guys glorify the WBC fucking mafia. And right after that, say that this nigga's not overpaid. What the fuck is going on? Yo.
Listen.
What's wrong with you people? What's the matter?
Anyone that gets in there and does what these guys do and puts themselves in such danger, I don't have the right to tell them they're being overpaid, man. That's just my opinion.
Hey, baby,
I'm
but you
honest.
Got your opinion. I got facts here. I told you the other what did I tell you last time I called? To check out the UFC. $500,000. And these motherfuckers fucking what? Millions upon millions of dollars and come on, bro. Not even close. And you're going to tell me they never paid? Not only that.
Georgie. if you came on here and told me that CEOs were being overpaid, you'd have a much better argument.
Right.
Okay? But boxers are putting their blood,
I'm giving
sweat,
you
and tears
apples
on the line.
To apples. I just gave you the UFC example. You want to talk about fucking. I'm giving you apples to apples, no apples to oranges. What are you missing here that you don't get? What is it that you don't get it? What is it that you don't get? What were we missing?
What are you
Didn't Ferguson to put a performance that these motherfuckers don't do for five times the amount of money? Ten times the amount of money? What is it that you don't see about that? I just don't get it.
People go into that ring and don't come out the same way they went in.
Right.
Like in the octagon, right? Apples to apples, right there. What you don't get?
We'll take it up with Dana White. They got a monopoly over there. This is what happens when you got a monopoly.
So they are on the pay. Now you're saying that they're on the pay. That's what you're saying. Listen, when prize fighting started, we're talking about, Doggy, you got to go to slavery times, all the way to the Greeks and shit with the ultimate prize. Listen, let me burn. The ultimate prize was your freedom, your life. Then money came along. And because money came along, all these so-called vaccine fighters say, oh, they're prize fighters, they're prize. Shut the fuck up. You're going against your fucking interest. Once again, overpaying these motherfuckers, they never throw down. They hardly throw down. They always want to milk the fight until the fight got to be fucking who knows how many cuckoo $1 trillion. Because they cannot do it to find out who's the best in the world. That goes last. And here you guys talking about what? WBC match has some type of credibility? And these people are not overpaid? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I'm just never gonna agree to that, man. I'm not gonna co-sign that. Never.
This is facts. I'm speaking facts here. I don't understand how cool I can possibly be in the wrong side of the argument. Not for a second.
If I go, let me ask you a question. If I go in on a job interview tomorrow, right, and the job really pays $70,000. Right? That's what the going rate for the job is that I'm applying for. I go in there and I negotiate $100,000. I deserve that because, you know, the deal you make is the deal you
take. You just said it, Beast. You just said it. The average is $78,000. You get $100,000. Yes, you overpaid. Yes, you overpaid. You just said it.
I negotiated that salary.
And you ended up being overpaid because of that. So what you saying? That you're not overpaid?
If they choose to pay me that, then they believe that I'm worth it.
They're overpaying you, yeah. They chose to overpay you, yeah. So what's the problem? Yeah, you overpaid. You still overpaid. They choose to overpay you. You still overpaid.
We live in a capitalist country, so you know what that means? You're worth it.
What that means? What that means?
Negotiate.
What kind of country are you talking about, Beast?
Beast. You get paid whatever you can negotiate, Daddy.
Yeah, you can't hate what they negotiate. You know what I mean? You can't hate and say, well, he doesn't deserve it.
I'm not negotiating anything.
I earned that deal because I negotiated it.
But the fact is still standing. Even if you negotiated and you are brave negotiating shit, doesn't mean you're not overpaid. Because you just said that it's only for $78,000.
Listen.
What do you get?
Look at the housing market. Look how inflated that became, right? But guess what? That's the market value now. So when the market value gets inflated, then it is what it is. That's what things are worth. Whether you like it or not,
just call it?
That's
why did you just call it? But why did you just call it right now? Inflated. Out of your own mouth, you calling it inflated.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Come on, baby.
Let me ask you a question.
Stop it. Stop it. Doesn't matter how many times you got to chop it out. And we ended up in the same place. We ended up in the same place, baby.
If they're overpaid, then what should they be getting paid then? What is the going? If you're such an economist and you know the going rate of what a boxer should make in 2020, tell me what the wage should be.
I'm going to tell you right now. Let me
bet. That's your forte. You're a boxing manager. You know how much boxers should make in 2020. Tell me.
I'm going to tell you right now, but let me speak before you want to put me in this fucking category. That I'm a boxing man, if these are understood, let me tell you. As a boxing fan, that's what I am, who love the sport, I know that doesn't take $10 million to find out who's the best in the world. That's a fact. Wrap it up, point blank and period. Wrap it up. Doesn't take no $10 million, doesn't take no $20 million, doesn't take a fucking $1 trillion to find out who's the best in the world. Greed takes you there. Greed that you guys defend. Get it straight. I don't have nothing else to say. I love you guys. I got to go. Everybody support thumbs up.
But he still didn't tell me what the fighter should make. He couldn't come up with a number. You know why you can't come up with a number? Because numbers are negotiated. Because numbers are negotiated. How can you sit there and say fighters are overpaid? Back in the 90s, Mike Tyson was getting friggin' $30 million a fight, okay? Sugar Ray Leonard, when he fought Marvin Hagler, and Marvin Hagler made $20 million in 1987. Sugar Ray Leonard made $13 million in 1987. So what is so different from today? Due to the cost of inflation. How much is $30 million in 1990? How much would that be in 2020? That would be like $45 million.
Yeah, Burgess Meredith asked, isn't the zone in the hole from overpaying fighters?
No.
No, I think the zone's in the hole because of this whole COVID thing. I mean, I really do.
Well, the reason why the zone's in the hole is because they paid fighters their market value based off of what their market value was when they were pay-per-view fighters.
Right.
But now you take – it's like this. You have a restaurant and you have a bar that makes crazy money. Right, especially on Fridays and Saturday nights, right? You have a bar, right? You take that bar out, what happens? The restaurant doesn't generate the same amount of revenue.
Right.
You can't pay fighters pay-per-view revenue, pay-per-view-sized purses, while taking the pay-per-view out of the equation. Pay-per-view, unfortunately, I know people don't want to believe this. They don't want to hear it. It's a necessary evil. Because it's an incentive for the big fights to happen. Because what happened now? Now that you did give Canelo that deal, you gave Golovkin that deal, who are they fighting? They won't fight each other, right? We're not getting the fights we want to see over at the zone. Not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting Anthony Joshua versus Andy Ruiz. Is that a better fight than Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury? Name one non-pay-per-view fight over at the zone that was better than the pay-per-view fights that we got this year. Really? Think about it.
I mean, listen, that whole tournament. I thought that whole tournament was good.
It was good. But in order – what's going to happen now, though, if Anthony Joshua wants to fight Tyson Fury
– it's on a pay-per-view.
It has to go to pay-per-view. It's not – it makes no sense for
well, Joshua fight. Doesn't have a deal with the zone, right?
No, he's a fight-to-fight.
Yeah, fight-to-fight.
But
it's still going to pay-per-view.
But do you realize that's the reason why he's on a fight-to-fight? Because Eddie Hearn and his manager, Freddie Cunningham, they know that for a mega fight, for him to maximize his revenue, that he would have to go on pay-per-view.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'm being objective here. Now, I could talk like a fan and live in the land of sunshine and rainbows and say, yeah, I'm going to pay $10 for fights, but what am I going to get for that $10? I'm not saying that I'm unhappy with the zone, but I will tell you this. The first half of the year, scratching my head, asking myself, why did I pay for this? I didn't start getting fights, good fights, till the second half of the year. And guess what? I got a good fight because it was a cherry pick gone bad.
Yeah, that's true.
On paper, that wasn't a good fight.
No, I mean, no, not at all.
And the second fight wasn't really that good at all.
Okay, well, what about ESPN then? What about ESPN? They're going to have the Lomachenko versus Teofimo fight.
That's going to be pay-per-view.
That is it? That's right, it is.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, well, what are you going to
do?
You
can't pull them on an app. You can't pull them on a fucking app. So,
yeah, they're going to have to just to pay them.
The reason why DAZN is in trouble is if they paid and also, why would you lock a guy who's 37 years old into a three-year contract? Why would you lock him in? Why wouldn't you just sign him for two fights? How could you project someone's market value today and forecast it what it's going to be 3 years down the road? Why would Golovkin be worth the same 3 years down the road than he is today? Is he gonna be a better fighter? Again,
I think that's what they do in Europe. I mean, with the soccer players, like, they don't pay them, and that's why they come here, because like they don't pay them for what they did. They pay them for what they're going to do.
Okay, but this is a niche sport, right?
Yeah,
you can't structure contracts in boxing the same way you do in team sports, because again, you know, most teams have a couple stars on them. So if one guy goes down, you know what I mean? When boxing tries to be something it's not, that's when it starts getting in trouble.
I agree.
You know, and you put that guy, John Skipper, in charge, it was a bad hire.
Well, and don't forget, the zone's also, you know, having trouble right now because of the sports. All sports. Everybody thinks of the zone and thinks boxing.
Of course.
All sports. They have all sports. They're like the ESPN over there, you know. So, yeah, say boxing is one part of it is not really the full thing.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Let's be perfectly honest. If you had a choice as a fighter to go on DAZN or go on Fox, and you're in America, and you know every home in the United States that has a television has Fox, right? There's no other outlet that's going to reach more homes than Fox. So, and here's another thing too, that, you know, all that free advertising, when Fox has the football games on, they have all the sports they have on, they have all those sports shows on, you know, Undisputed, Colin Cowherd, the guy with that heavy set guy that's on his show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Shit loads of shows, right?
Sure.
And whenever there's a big pay-per-view, what do? The fighters go on every single one of them shows.
Right.
That's free advertisement. How does DAZN do advertising when they have a big fight?
On DAZN. You know,
it's a seriously flawed model.
In fairness. If you're getting paid a lot more at DAZN than you would be at Fox, but you're seeing more people are seeing you on Fox.
But here's another thing.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to go to DAZN.
But if you have the potential to fight on pay-per-view, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're ultimately going to end up making more money on fighting on pay-per-view. Now, people are saying, Deontay Wilder should have signed that DAZN deal. No, he shouldn't. He didn't need to.
Well, look at Canelo. Canelo's the richest boxer now ever.
Okay.
Man, he's not on paper.
But he's not fighting. So.
Well, nobody's fighting right now.
No, but again, everyone else fought two or three times. He fought once. Why?
Well, he was going to fight in May, wasn't he? He was going to fight in May, and this whole thing came down.
I'm not even sure what he was going to do, but he wasn't going to be fighting Golovkin, I'll tell you that. He wasn't going to be fighting a big fight.
Well, no, and Golovkin, you know, and to that point, too, Golovkin, they talked about the September fight. Golovkin pulled out of the September fight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that's another problem. So, you know, DAZN went in this with the intent of making big fights, but how can you make big fights when you don't have the fights locked up ahead of time. Why? You're
That's a big thing.
You know, they
That's
they,
a big
they,
thing.
Stupid.
That a lot of people overlook. You remember when Eddie Hearn signed Amir Khan and he was going to put the Brook fight together? He signed him to 3 fights. Never materialized. Listen, you can't make them fight. If they don't want to fight, they don't want to fight. You can't make them fight, man.
And Canelo did sign that big deal.
Yeah, he did.
But here's the thing. We don't know how that's going to be distributed to him.
Correct.
One of the fights, they only gave him $15 million, which was, what was that fight there, the super middleweight fight there that he fought? He only got $15 million for that.
But you know, like if he fights a two-up fight, he's not getting $30 million for that.
They gave him $15 million for that fight.
Right.
So he has that what is it, $365 million, right? And that's going to be spread out.
Yeah.
But they're not going to pay him $30-something million to fight a Rocky Fielding. They already showed you that. They only gave him $15 million. So.
But they got to make good on that contract.
Okay, but that contract is 11 fights. But if he keeps telling them, I'm not going to fight this guy, I'm not going to fight that guy, then guess what?
You want to win that.
But see, look what's going to happen now. That $365 million now is going to get dragged out longer than 5 or 6 years. That could get dragged out to fucking 8 years.
But let me ask you, like, there's got to be some contingency in the contract, shouldn't there? I mean, so, like, if he says, you know, he's getting 300 some odd million for 11 fights, and you come to him and he says, hey, I don't want to fight this guy, I don't want to fight that. It's got to be like top 5 competition, right? I mean, you can't do that. You can't really say.
It looks like, from my vantage point, that he's got them by the balls.
Yeah. It's a good deal he signed. I mean, I tell you what, I would have advised him to sign it.
It could be a good deal, but it could also be a bad deal if the opponents do not materialize, because what's going to happen is, that schedule, you don't know how long it's going to take him to get to those 11 fights is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That could be stretched out, supposedly in an ideal world, it would be stretched out over 5.5 years. But again, I know the COVID thing, whatever. Even with the COVID thing, everyone else still got 2 or 3 fights in. He only got 1 fight in.
Right.
Why? Because he didn't fight Golovkin when he should have.
Yeah, but he only fights twice a year anyway.
He fights twice a year. But again, when you're making $35 million a fight and you're giving up one fight, that's $35 million of potential earnings. So once again, the fight structure is going to be dragged out longer. If he's going to continue to sit there and say, I don't want to fight this guy, I don't want to fight that guy, and now Golovkin's doing the same thing, and now the reason why they're able to do this is because the zone gave them leverage over themselves.
Yeah.
Why would ESPN or Fox ever give leverage to the promoter or the fighter over them?
Surprised. I was surprised when they came out and they dropped all this money. You know, I mean, you got the big ticket guy, you know, with Canelo, but they drop a lot of money on a lot of fighters.
I would not have signed Canelo unless it was contingent upon he fight Golovkin, he fight this guy, fight that guy. Do you remember when Andre Ward had that deal with HBO?
Yeah.
Remember when he would go to fight people and they would turn down the opponents?
Yeah.
Right? First right of refusal, whatever?
Yes. I remember that. That happened a lot. That happened a lot. A lot of fighters, a lot of different fighters, not just Ward.
What's happening with Canelo? He's got them by the ball.
Yeah.
They need him more than he needs them.
Right.
And that's
crazy.
And that's the problem.
It's crazy, man.
ESPN and Fox. ESPN has UFC to fall back on. They have all those other, the basketball to fall back on. Fox got the football. You know what I'm saying? What's the zone got? Boxing was the thing for them.
Here.
Yeah, but even around the world, they've been around since 2015, right?
What all they have? They have NBA, they have NFL, they have all those.
Yeah, very limited. Very limited.
But in different countries, yeah. I mean, they show them in different countries, but that's who they go to.
They show baseball, but you know what they do? They don't show the whole game. They only show clips of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't show the
whole
game.
Here in the U.S. or abroad?
Abroad. They don't show the whole game.
Huh. Yeah, they know that. That's insane. Dillian White is still not getting a title shot. You sent me this article earlier.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury, you know, Dillian White is still like the mandatory. He was actually replaced by Tyson Fury when Fury fought Wilder, they said. Is he going to get a title shot? I mean, he's way behind the eight ball here because
this is
Fury and Wilder are going to fight, or Fury and Joshua are going to fight. They're already laying the groundwork for that fight. This guy deserves a shot, man.
You know, if you have a system in place and you're not going to follow the system,
right,
and you're going to politicize the system, then just do away with the system. Don't have mandatories anymore. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just say, okay, we'll rank guys, but it's up to us to you know. And it's written in their bylaws. Being a mandatory does not guarantee you, you know, a shot at the title. You get a shot at the title when the mandatory is enforced by the WBC. If you're the mandatory challenger, they can make you fight 1,000 eliminators, even though you're the mandatory. So what does mandatory
mean? Which is ridiculous. What does mandatory mean?
What I mean?
Right.
So it's a fucking, excuse my language, it's an effing joke.
Why? I don't understand. Is it because he's critical of them? I mean, why are they not? I mean.
You know why? This is why. Because they want to make the super fights. They want Fury to fight Joshua so bad. And when Fury wasn't the champion, they wanted Wilder. They were pushing so hard to have this unification fight. And you know what? It's not your job to be a fan. You do what's right. You do what's right for the fighters. Okay? Just because it's, you can't sit there and say, well, read their bylaws. It says if the WBC deems another fight bigger than the mandatory, then that will supersede the mandatory. It's written there.
That's ridiculous. Then why have a ranking?
It's disgrace. The way,
why have a ranking?
Do you remember when they got sued by Roy Jones?
I do.
That was the turning point for them. That's when they went and put all these loopholes in their friggin' law in their rules. That's when they did that.
Who was it? Was it Roxanne Johnny sued him?
Ross Shetty. Gian.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
German guy.
Yeah. And he won. He was going to take him completely under, right?
That Roy Jones vacated it, and then he wanted it back. So he fought for the vacant one, and then now when Roy Jones said he wanted it back, then they stripped him and gave it back. You see what I'm like? Come, like, what is this now? This is like,
why even have rankings at that point? You know what I mean? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
but I mean, he deserves a shot. No,
100%.
I mean, is there really any argument here? I mean, he deserves a shot.
100%.
He's been a number one contender.
WBC,
I mean,
the WBC are fanboys, and they would rather see Fury or Wilder versus Joshua.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the money is, sure.
Now, this is what should happen. If that's going to happen, then guarantee White a shot at the winner. Guarantee White a shot at the winner.
Yeah.
But see, you know why that? But this is, here's another problem now. This is another problem. So if there's a unification bout, right? Fury and Joshua fight, and then say Fury wins, he gets all the belts, or say Joshua wins and he gets all the belts. There's going to be a whole set of mandatories.
Yep.
Okay? And the WBC is so lax. They don't want to strip a guy like, they don't want to strip a Fury or a Joshua. Why? Why give up that sanctity fee? We'll allow you to fight your other mandatories and get that's another excuse they would use. Oh, well, he has mandatories and we understand that, so we're gonna let him fight the mandatories in WBA or the IBF whatever first, because we don't want to strip him because he's a great champ. Blah, blah, blah. That's the spiel that they would do, and that's why they couldn't even guarantee Dillian White a shot at the winner, because another one of the sanctioning bodies would enforce their mandatories, and that, you know, and then he'd be. He'd be left out in the cold again.
It's ridiculous.
So he's got nobody fighting for him right now. Nobody.
You know, and, you know, like I said, I mean, he was knocked out by Anthony Joshua early in his career on his when he was coming up. But that was a good fight.
It definitely made a good economy.
Absolutely did. Hurt Joshua and everything, man.
That was a great fight.
It was. And it sucks that he's not getting a title shot. Yeah, it just does, man. You know what? And it ain't coming anytime soon either. I really believe that. You know, you got the Wilder fight again, or they're going to make the AJ fight. Can't give him the winner because what happens if he lose? You know, what happens if it's a draw? Another Wilder thing. Some nonsense, disputed. I mean, they're going to want to run it back. If it's a close fight, they'll run it back for more money.
If Fury beats Wilder decisively, they're going right to AJ.
For sure.
Going right to AJ.
That's not even a question.
Not even a question. Going right to AJ. And then do you realize this guy's been in the mandatory for almost 3 years?
It means nothing.
It's a shame.
It means absolutely nothing.
Mandatory means
absolutely nothing.
You know, I'm just at a loss for words, man. I don't know what else to say.
It's a shame, man, because the guy's a good fighter. The guy's a solid fighter, and he's got a chance. If whoever he fights, he has a chance against.
And he fought Joseph Parker. Get ready to fight Povetkin. You know, Oscar Rivas. I mean, but Derek Chisora twice. He's fighting
top
decent
guys, top level guys.
Fighting top 10 guys, so it's not like he's fighting scrubs.
It's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. What are you going to do? All right, guys, boxing gets back next week. Not this coming Tuesday, but next Tuesday. We'll review all the cards and stuff like that next week and get you guys ready. Until then, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. And find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. I'm at Ringside 73, and we will see you next week.